We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast presented by WynnBET. It's Friday, October 15th, 2021. Alex Perutha here with Ken K-Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
Ken is not able to attend. He is dealing with...
Shannon.
Wow. That's why I get for not having any caffeine this morning. Shannon's not here because he's dealing with a personal matter. Also, in addition to checking out WynnBET, you should check out NFBKC. Drafts are happening now. If you join the Sunday draft at, let me double check this time. If you beat me in one of these leagues, you get a free RotoWire subscription. October 17th, 10 p.m. Eastern time. You finish above me in the standings, you get a free RotoWire subscription. The league may be full, but you should join an NFBKC league anyway. We're less than a week away from the start of the NBA season. It starts on the 19th. So check out the RotoWire complete draft kit. I used the draft software twice yesterday. Very helpful for an auction draft marathon. If you are in an auction draft, if you're in a keeper draft, the draft software is especially helpful. So I would recommend taking the time and inputting everything you need to input to make that work. Today's format for the show, our main topic is late round targets in fantasy. So that will be good to get to. But the top news, Zion Williamson will be reevaluated in 2.5 more weeks. And there is no fixed timetable regarding his return. This started off as a secret foot surgery, and now it turns out
secret foot surgery? Is it like in the Bat Cave or something? Like under a cloak of darkness?
He didn't put anything on his social media with like a full body picture for the entire summer, basically. Like he was just like, he got a haircut, and it was just like from here up, you know, from his neck up. But there was like, I think there was a wheelchair in the background and nobody knew why it was there. And now we all know that he was in a wheelchair.
Oh, I missed that. Okay. Well, now we know. Yeah.
So secret foot surgery plus a timetable initially that was just incorrect, like very wrong, completely off because they thought he was going to be ready for the start of the season. This is absolute great stuff from Zion Williamson's camp. The Pelicans have to feel great.
NBA headquarters can't be happy about this.
It's unbelievable. As far as I guess the real question is, like, if you're thinking about drafting Zion, what do you do? Like, where do you draft him?
I mean, I'm always a little worried about the free throw percentage anyway, but I mean, this doesn't quite put him in the Kyrie Ben Simmons craziness, who knows how many games, but that whole no timetable thing. You know, like, I don't know. And there's always somebody who's Zion crazy. You know, whether they went to Duke or what, like somebody's always gaga for Zion. So I feel like in most of my drafts and auctions, I never share the same enthusiasm level as that one crazy person. But this just gives more reason to back away slowly.
I agree. I think There's a very real chance that Jonas Valanciunas has a better fantasy season than Zion this year.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather.
I think those two might clash. They might clash too. I know you like Valanciunas' ability to stretch the floor, can hit from outside, but I think about the Steven Adams mix. I don't think those two are so widely different. I'm concerned.
Yeah. Speaking of guys with ADPs kind of out of control, Ken.
Yeah, Ben Simmons is back, baby. Sorta. Kinda. He may or may not play in their Friday night preseason. That's got to be one awkward locker room, don't you think, Alex? I assume this is all about Ben wanting his Benjamins, right? Because they're holding back that eight. Did they say what's happening with that $8.5 million they were putting in a secret trust? Are they slowly leaking some of that to him now just so they can try to gradually improve his trade value? I don't. If you're the Kings, are you like, whoa, now he's playing with the Sixers? I want him more. Like, why does this improve his? I know why Ben wants to come back. He's got $8.5 million reasons, but why the Sixers care? I think if the Sixers move on, this does not improve his trade stock, does it?
I think that $8.5 million is with a nice family on a farm up the coast. I think it's just gone. This is definitely going to be awkward. I don't know. It's tough to say. I think, you know, Ben could maybe just walk in and be like, listen, I didn't want to do any of this. Clutch wanted me out. And then, you know, Rich Paul realized he didn't get commission checks if I didn't play. And then he got mad at me and he booked me a flight and took me hostage. And just
you think the Sixers roster is that stupid where they're like, oh, great, Ben, welcome back.
Yeah,
what's
this
the Joel Embiid side eye look that he gave Drummond when Drummond showed up? Like,
that was pretty funny. I don't know. I hope, you know, I hope he comes in and is just completely liberated by the fact that he like knows everyone hates him. So he just like starts shooting threes and taking mid rangers, and he's just like completely. He just goes for it. Like,
I'm a Celtics fan, and I hope he's like the worst sourpuss in the world, that like he's angry at everyone every second that he's on that bench or on the floor. All right, let me ask you this though. Let's walk into a happier future where Ben's somewhere else, maybe Sacramento, who knows where. Do you prefer, Alex, do you prefer Shake Milton or Tyrese Maxey?
It's tough because Doc Rivers was like pretty negative about Tyrese Maxey early in training camp, which I thought was weird because training camp is all about propaganda and just saying like, you know, the 18th man at your training camp roster is like amazing. So it's pretty weird that he was like, yeah, Tyrese Maxey, you know, key part of our team, not having a great camp, just got some stuff to work on. I was like, what?
And you could see somebody walk. I mean, you know, Doc's got enough gravitas where if he's angry at a kid, thinks he didn't work on his game in the offseason, he can take a few chip shots and get away with it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I wish coaches would be more honest like that. I'm a Shake Milton guy, so I guess I sort of prefer him. But Maxey showed so much upside last year in those games that like half the team was out with COVID. So it really is tough to say.
I lean to Milton just because I think he's a little more of an actual point guard. You know, I mean, their per 36 minutes for both of them are about little over 4.5 assists per 36 minutes. So it's not like statistically one does better than the other. Maxey's slightly ahead in assists per 36, but I just feel like his game's a little more assist oriented. And frankly, you know, you want to pass first point guard when Joel Embiid's your center. So I kind of lean to Maxey, as you know, because I've gotten Maxey in a lot of our RotoWire staff competitions. But all right, Alex, take us to other news in the country's heartland.
I think Josh Giddey might be for real.
Whoa. All 140 pounds of him?
I know. I've been skeptical on this podcast. Poku also had a great game for what it's worth. I know it was against Denver's B team. Right. Make note of in our notes here.
In the show notes, I did add Denver's B team.
He did have some insane like Showtime play where he dribbled between the legs into a behind-the-back pass and then cuts the basket. My God, that was beautiful.
you got to draft Pokuševski only for when you're watching late night highlights and he does something like that and you can go, Poku! Because when it happens for a guy on your teams, more than one of your teams, it's so much more thrilling. Yeah.
It was really surreal to watch too, because I don't think that game was televised. So the highlight I saw was just like no commentary, no sound, bad camera.
Black and white on a UHF channel. Yeah.
He's like running back and I'm like, it has the vibe of like a secret, you know,
like 1970s NBA. Yeah. Oh, we don't have a contract, but there is a guy there with a camcorder.
It was like those Giannis videos that were on YouTube that had like 800 views. You're like, what?
The Greek commentator in the back, they're throwing batteries at the loser. Yeah.
Josh Giddey has played well this preseason. There hasn't been like a ton of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So, you know, his usage may not be as high during the regular season.
I hear SGA is pretty good.
Yeah. this preseason, four preseason games, a pretty decent sample. 29 minutes. He's averaging 13.5 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Only 2.3 turnovers, which is pretty, I mean, for a rookie, great. Really impressive. Basically,
triple double last night.
Yeah, basically no steals and blocks, but he's averaging about a fantasy point per minute. Again, I'm not sure that'll keep up quite during the regular season, but at this point, I'm pretty convinced, like, take him with, you know, one of the later picks in your draft. Take him over Jalen Suggs, who has shown almost nothing at all for the Magic. I think I'm officially in.
On Giddey. Well, wait a minute, though. If you're forced to choose Giddey or Poku, I'm going Poku. Where are you going?
Oh, man.
Feet to the fire.
I'm going Giddey.
I know.
Wait, you could go back.
I sense a board bet, baby. I say Poku has a better fantasy season in 21-22.
Is this per game?
No. Season, total season.
All right. I'll do it anyway. It doesn't matter. Josh Giddey for me.
Okay. All right. Okay. I probably should wager an OKC t-shirt, I think.
Oh, that'd be funny. Or maybe one of their rookie cards. Although, I'll tell you what.
Rookie cards.
You could. For people who care, the Poku market is absolutely out of control. Good luck. Good luck. I've seen them go for, I mean, if they're autographed, that $500,000. People are crazy.
We'll go Bucks or Celtics t-shirt, something we actually want.
We'll,
I'm not wearing it.
We'll figure something out. If there's a funny Poku shirt or something
like
that,
true.
We'll.
That's true. Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Okay. Well, and then I want to stress for my news point, also talking about last night's preseason games. DeAndre Hunter is back, baby. We're going to talk about him more later in the show. He's been a sleeper favorite of RotoWire all offseason. Had a very nice game. To me, the biggest point, Alex, 29 minutes. He played 29 minutes in a meaningless preseason game, so they must feel great about his health. Put up 19 points, hit 4 threes, but just the fact that he's getting a ton of minutes, that knee seems all well. Love that DeAndre Hunter. No, to me, looks like they don't have any injury concerns about him.
Yep, easy to forget that he was the fourth pick in 2019. Someone who maybe didn't have as much pedigree as some other fourth picks, but yeah, I mean, you're right. The minutes are encouraging. He's only played in two preseason games, but per 36, he's taking 15 shots in those two preseason games. So I think he's ready to go. Someone that I like late in drafts for sure, because he was like a top 50 player before he got hurt last season. And you can get him out, you know, I mean, I'll talk about him later. I'll save it for that.
You're stealing all your magic there. From
I know I'm stealing. Yeah, I'm stealing my own content.
Did you say at the beginning of the show, we're discussing late round picks is our main topic today. I don't know if we said that at the beginning or not.
I think I snuck it in there. Yeah, okay. Late round draft pick. So Hunter will be included in there.
Now, Alex, I went on a little about Hunter, but I see you've got something I'm very happy to see. Yeah, prepare yourself. Clear your throat. You've got yourself a young man rant. Curveball for today's pod. Please proceed.
I was on Twitter last night. Happened to see the 538 projections for the Western Conference this season. Eastern Conference projections look normal to me, completely normal, nothing weird. But 538, for those who don't know, is a quote-unquote data-driven news and analysis website that is heavily featured on ESPN.
Not a lot of their political projections as well, right?
Well, yeah, predicting Hillary Clinton would win by 72% or whatever. They weren't exactly accurate.
They've had some wins, had some losses. Yeah.
Yeah, they've taken their fair share of W's and L's. But their Western Conference standings. I'm starting at the top. Jazz, 54 wins. All right, that makes sense. Then I look down one more. I see the Suns. I'm like, okay, sure. And then after that, I see the Nuggets. And I'm like, wait, isn't someone missing? Where are the Lakers? The Lakers are ninth.
They've got to go on 42-40.
538 says, according to their model, says the Lakers have a 48% chance to make the playoffs, not the finals. Right. I would give them a 48% chance to win the NBA finals or make the finals. We're talking about the playoffs. The Grizzlies have 11% higher odds to make the playoffs than the Lakers in this model. The Pelicans are given a 79% chance to make the playoffs. If your model tells you that the Pelicans will win six more games than the Lakers, reconsider everything.
Clearly not in on the Zion mystery surgery.
I can't stop thinking about, I've been thinking about this since I saw it last night. It's consumed every waking moment, which has been like, technically like an hour and a half since right. I saw it. They and I stumbled onto this because I was diving even deeper. They list only two title contenders, and those teams are the Bucks and the Clippers. Those are the only two teams that 538 has labeled as title contenders, the Bucks and the Clippers.
Yeah.
They have Kawhi Leonard playing 2,200 minutes this season. He has a torn ACL. How is he playing 2,200 minutes? I know that includes regular season and playoffs. How is he getting to 2,200 minutes?
That's unacceptable. That is unacceptable.
That is my young man rant. If you your model
Nate, what's his name? Nate. We got to get Nate.
Nate Silver.
Nate Silver.
What are you doing, man?
By the way, Nate Silver and Shanky, president of RotoWire, Pete Shanky, friends. They worked together on baseball sites before. Again. We'll get Pete to send him a note. What the hell's going on with their Kawhi Leonard forecast? It's insane. Well, they clearly are not buying the RotoWire injury status feed, which they should. Nate, give us a call. I handle our syndication sales, so I'd be happy to work with you.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
Well,
that's funny. And disturbing. Maybe that's a good excuse for me to contact them for sales.
Okay.
You know who would make that mistake? Probably the people who set odds over at WinBet.
Yeah, they would never make this mistake. Because if there's one thing that we appreciate here at RotoWire, it is making good decisions. Like if you were to see the clip or the Lakers at 42 wins, you would take the over. And even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at Baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WYNNBET. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast.
I think listeners might think Win, W-I-N, but no, think of The Win, the fabulous casino out in Las Vegas and other locations. W-Y-N-N, right?
Yes, beautiful casino. Yeah. Been there many times on our RotoWire Vegas extravaganza.
I saw Franco Harris at the Las Vegas Win Bet. Too afraid to say anything, but happy to see him. All right, time for our fan feedback section. Today's question comes from superfan Alexander Vu, who asked, what do you project to be Vucevic's average this season? Averages per game, I assume. As long as he's able to grab 10-ish boards, 0.8 blocks a game, some threes, I'll be happy. Now, we had Vooch, as you recall, Alex, on our overrated video, mostly because we're worried about their new lineup. I will say that Alexander's stats seem to be spot on, and maybe he clearly is a RotoWire subscriber. We've got for Vooch on RotoWire 20 points, 11 boards, 3.4 assists, 0.9 steals, 0.8 blocks, and 2.3 threes. Vooch did hit 2.3 threes a game over his prior 26 games with Chicago. So we expect this to continue. Now, that said, Alex, I personally am expecting more boards and fewer points than what we project. So I see more like 18 points a game, but 12 boards with that new Bulls lineup. But we'll see. Alex, what are your thoughts on Nikola Vucevic?
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. His preseason stats, you know, per 36 have been pretty consistent with where they've been the last few years. So I guess that could give you some hope that he has just a good season as last year. I think the main thing, I think there'll just be fewer big games from him. And I think that's what'll drag his averages down. Maybe he's more steady, but I just don't see, they don't need to feed him in the post for so many touches.
You don't bring in DeMar DeRozan just to insert the ball to Vucevic in the post.
No. So I think there's just fewer big games coming. So expect less 35 and 15 with 5 assists, just less of that. But he's still a good player. I just want to draft him. I mean, he's being drafted in some places like top 19. Yeah. I couldn't do that. I'd be looking at more like 25 to 30 just because he's also
DeRozan and Ball are going to get their touches.
Well, and Vucevic I think he's 30, 31, and he doesn't have like a clean injury sheet. Like he's been injured a decent amount in his career before. So he's just not someone I would draft before. Like, I think anything before pick 25 is probably aggressive.
All right. Well, thank you, Alexander. Fans, please go to our RotoWire YouTube page, like one of the basketball videos, and on the most recent video, which would be from today's pod, leave a question for us, and we'll address it next week. All right. With that, I think we're getting to our main topic.
Late round targets. Yeah, some guys who we think their ADPs are too low. So for my ADPs, I will be using Yahoo's ADPs.
I used average. I used average from Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS.
That's all right. And on the RotoWire website, we do have an ADP tab where you can check the ADPs from, I think, ESPN, Yahoo, CBS, Underdog, DraftKings. Those might be the only ones. But really good landscape, or really good look at the fantasy landscape if you do that. My first late round target is Kelly Olynyk, who has an ADP on Yahoo of 99.
Oh, you're cheating a little. Supposed to be 100 plus.
I cheat a little. You
know. For the clinic, I'll allow it.
Yeah, I figured this was a pro Kelly podcast. I can get away with it. He ranked 64th in 28.5 minutes per game last season. He ranked 95th in 23.4 minutes per game in 2017-18. I think Dwayne Casey will very soon realize that Kelly Olynyk is one of the few competent players on this team. Someone with a high floor as a player who just doesn't make mistakes, who will knock down shots when he's got open looks, who will pass to his teammates. And I think Olynyk will end up playing close to 30 minutes a game at both power forward and center, because they don't really have a backup center. They have Trey Lyles. And you know what Trey Lyles?
I was just going to say, Trey Lyles, if there's one thing that screams Kelly Olynyk's going to get a lot of minutes, it's two words. Trey Lyles.
Trey Lyles like couldn't find minutes on the Spurs at the end of last season, and he's just been bouncing around. So, and I don't know how much Luka Garza is going to play. Anyway, I think Olynyk, decent
Luka
chance.
Luka Garza just be happy you have an NBA job.
I know. I think there's a decent chance Olynyk finishes in the 60s again. And if you get that guy at pick 100, do it.
All right. You're not saying Olynyk finishes ahead of Beef Stew, are you? Sounds like you might.
No, I wouldn't go that far, but it'll be. I think
he does
I
hit threes. Olynyk hits threes.
I think he'll actually be really close because Olynyk hits threes and he passes.
Yeah. Where Stu's going to get you blocks and boards. They're wildly different players, frankly.
Well, that's more steals. You could play together. I think they'll play together a lot. And Jeremy Grant, I think, is more of a three anyway. I'm in on Olynyk.
Well, we'll see how Sadiq Bey does. Yeah, they could play Grant a lot of minutes at three. We'll see. But definitely some options there. All right, Kelly the Clinic, Olynyk. Alex, that's your first late-round target. I'm going to go to Memphis. Dylan Brooks. You know, Alex, shooters shoot. And Brooks feels no guilt jacking up jumpers from anywhere on the floor. RotoWire agrees with me. They've got him ranked 78th for eight category leagues, and he's going at 119. Some of that might be because he's got a little bit of a hand injury, but he's coming back at the end of October. Anyone who saw Dylan Brooks play knows he is not gun-shy. I think Valanciunas being replaced by Steven Adams opens up a few more shots for guys like Dylan Brooks, and he's going to get a ton of threes. Anyway, I have been targeting Dylan Brooks a lot late in drafts.
He's a perfect example of someone who plays really hard defense just so the coach lets him shoot as much as he wants. I like Brooks this year. I think most of us, or at least me, Ken, and I think James, were healthy skeptics of Brooks in general heading into last season, but his play in the play-in, or like kind of towards the end of the Grizzly season, the play-in early in the playoffs was so good. I mean, he was scoring 25 a game. He was defending the team's best wing/guard player. I'm now all in on Dylan Brooks. Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people are like, well, good defense doesn't help in rotisserie. Good defense keeps you on the floor. And that's why Brooks is going to be a starter for this grit and grind Grizzly team. He's not Tony Allen, but he's close. He certainly has the Tony Allen attitude.
Yep.
Without defrauding healthcare systems.
I didn't want to say it because I wasn't 100% sure it was Tony Allen, but it was.
I'm 99% sure he was on that list. Yeah.
My second late round target, Jonathan Isaac, ooh. ADP of 115. Okay, he didn't play at all last year. That's obviously a concern. But two seasons ago, before he got hurt, he played in 34 games and he ranked 34th in per game production. So this is someone this isn't that small of a sample. This is 34 games. This is someone who clearly has third round upside and is going 115th. Now, I know he doesn't have a firm timetable for a return from his knee injury. Who cares? You're getting him at pick 115. Who else are you taking?
You can't complain about any pick at 115. Even if his vaccination stand costs him a dozen games, at pick 115, who cares? I think also the broader topic here, Alex, is there's a lot of fantasy gold in Orlando. You got Fultz now out till December 1st. So suddenly Cole Anthony looks a lot more interesting. Chuma Okeke at power forward. Very well in spot starts last year. Especially if Isaac is not healthy, you finally get both those guys in the 100s and see who becomes their main power forward. Terrence Ross is going to get about a million shots. And as you said, Jalen Suggs preseason, a little concerning. Maybe just takes him a little longer as a rookie to turn it on. But a lot of late round gold here in Orlando.
I just find myself gravitating towards like Spurs and Magic guys. Like I don't know why. They play on opening night or they play on the 20th. Ooh, and
ratings are going to be through the roof for that one. And,
well, I wrote a like handicap in the NBA article about like my picks for the first days of the season. This was a while ago. I said, I'd just rather watch like a competitive cornhole game. Like I just don't. Not interested, but the Magic are kind of entertaining. I have to say that I've been watching them. Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter Jr. playing together, which I love. RJ Hampton, insane athlete, has been dunking everything. So I like those guys in the Magic.
All right, very good. I'm gonna move on to my second late round target, and frankly, a RotoWire favorite. I do balance this out with someone RotoWire hates at the end, so I'm not all corporate way here, but. Daniel Gafford at an ADP of 127, your starting center for the Washington Wizards. I always believe center scarcity is for real, especially in two center leagues. Remember, Thomas Bryant is out. He's aiming for a December return, but that's no sure thing. Also, Bryant's a free agent this summer, while Gafford's under team control for two more seasons. So they'd certainly love it if Gafford outright won this job. Here's Gafford's stats last 19 games. The last 19 games of last season, 9.7 points, 5.7 boards, 1.8 blocks, and 66 field goal percentage over, I forgot to put the minutes down. I think I want to say 23, 24. So he's going to get some insane block numbers if he gets major minutes. I'm not really worried about Montrezl Harrell. He's a better reserve. He's frankly a power forward. No, it doesn't offer much rim protection. So I like Gafford. He's also had an excellent preseason. I like Gafford, especially at an ADP of 127.
Yeah, you mentioned his preseason, 22 minutes, which I think will go up. I think he's trending closer to 24 to 28, but he's averaging 10 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks. Love it. We have him projected to go in the 80s or to be worth an eighth round pick, basically. I upped his projections the other day. You know, the concern, obviously, when Bryant comes back is that the minutes get confusing there, but Montrezl Harrell might be the odd man out there eventually. Yeah. So I would just, if you can get Gafford, in the hundreds, just take him and take the production for the time being. Like, don't worry about what's happening later.
Also, couldn't you see the Wizards dealing Harrell at the trade deadline? Kind of a big, you know, while he still has value, he might be at this stage of his career a bigger name than he is productive. Let your young bigs get more valuable playing time and kind of build for the future more.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a team that's, you know, really competitive or more competitive than the Wizards, and they maybe lose a backup center, yeah, they might need Harrell take him for a second round pick or something.
Yeah. All right, give us your last surprise. No one's going to believe this. Late round target.
Well, he was mentioned earlier, and it was DeAndre Hunter, someone I've been on for, I think, basically since he got hurt last season. I was like, you have to draft this guy high next year. Yeah, he, like I mentioned before, he ranked 50th last season before getting hurt. He was in the midst of a breakout. He was averaging, he if you look at his season stats, you're going to see him be like, well, he only averaged, 15 points a game. But he came back at points of the year, was playing like 15 minutes, just was not shooting well. Before he got hurt, was averaging 17.9 points on 52% shooting from the field, 38% from three. Was getting to the free throw line four times a game, which is great. Like for a wing player that was previously just a spot up guy, is amazing improvement.
Those late season stats, throw those out the window. That was a Hawks team, playoff push. He wanted to get back as early as he could. But he clearly wasn't 100%. Frankly, kudos to him for being a gamer. But yeah, it's that first half of the season where he really shined pre-injury that I'm kind of obsessed with for this season.
Yeah, so he's ADP of 124. He was 50 at some point. I say you can more or less split the difference. Grab him at 80 or 90 before someone else does.
Amen. Amen. Okay, this is the go against corporate, your corporate overlords, late round target. Somewhere, RotoWire NBA editor Nick Whalen is grinding his teeth, loathing this suggestion. So I will caveat that no one agrees with me at RotoWire on this, but I'm going to say it anyway, damn it. Steven Adams. Yes, I'm going back to Memphis. I know, he was terrible last year with the Pelicans, but that's because he was playing next to a physical freak in Zion Williamson. He's not going to Memphis where JJJ, Jaren Jackson Jr., is a soft perimeter power forward. The key is all Adams. He had two double-doubles this preseason. I think Adams is going to be an 11-point, 10-rebound, 1.1-block machine. People are giving up on Adams. He's only 28 years old. I know the beard hair look makes the New Zealander like look like he's from one of those Hobbit movies at age 98. He's only 28. But I do have to say again, RotoWire does not agree with this pick. RotoWire has him at 125 in eight category leagues. He does have a terrible free throw percentage, but frankly, he doesn't go to the line enough to make that matter. Alex, how much do you disagree with this suggestion?
I think I don't like really disagree that much. There's definitely room for him. I mean, if you're the Grizzlies, you want him out there because I think he's going to set some monster screens for Ja Morant. Yeah. And Morant's so quick.
Yeah,
Morant's so quick. Like, that's the kind of guy you want setting screens. So, yeah, and I think if, especially if you're a head-to-head league and you're punting free throw percentage, like, yeah, definitely, like, draft Steven Adams 109.
Points
like,
league.
The upside's
Also, I think he had to eat a lot of humble pie with that terrible season in New Orleans. I think he's motivated, which in the association goes a long way. But we'll see. We'll see. I probably should play some sort of board bet with Nick Whalen on this, but we'll see if he. This is interesting. This will be a good test to see if he actually watches the videos.
I think we both know who how he's going to grade on that test.
All right. Do you have any other late round targets you want to throw out there?
He's not on my list, but Mo Bamba.
Yeah,
I've just been impressed with what I've seen. He's huge now. Like, I think he spent all that time he wasn't playing in the gym. Like, and a lot of guys don't do that. And he's averaging like three blocks a game in the preseason. The him with Wendell Carter Jr. thing is working. They have great chemistry on the court. So,
okay, Mo Bamba.
Get Bamba.
I'm going to stay with Orlando. I'm going to say Cole Anthony because of the Fultz injury. And then I'm also going to throw one other name, Brett Brown. Again, because Kyrie being out, I think it's going to open a lot of floor time. He's like the super free garbage points king for the Nets. And you can get him. What's his ADP at like 150 or something? It's probably not even charted.
Off the charts. He's got an off the charts ADP.
That makes it sound good. You're right. You're right.
Ken, you have some things to say from our great friends at Yahoo.
Yes, I do have some things to say, and I'm scrolling to find those good things from our friends at Yahoo. If there's one, wait, no, that's WinBet. No. Hello. Oh boy.
I'm sure WinBet would appreciate a double read.
You're going to have to edit here. One, two, three. The new NFL season is underway, and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There'll be a ton of big prized contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multiple entry contests now being shark free. To celebrate the beginning of football season and Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 contest entry credits. User can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has a $1 million DFS football contest live. The $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and an entry to the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship Live Finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started. That's sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome.
That's a Yahoo's really, they've challenged us with this one. We love Yahoo.
I love Yahoo. Great business partner, RotoWire, Yahoo. Yeah.
You got through that, I think, actually better than I did, even at the end. So Ken, the listeners, they just heard you ramble on, but the Ken fans will be delighted to hear that we have more, because you have an old man rant.
Back in the Washington Bullets' late 1970s heyday, Coach Dick Motta was revered for his famous saying, "It ain't over till the fat lady sings." It was an opera reference. Was it PC? No, not really, but we loved it. Yet no one, as far as I can tell, sings in NBA arenas. No team in the NBA has a fight song. This sucks. In the Australian Rules Football League, every team has a fight song, including my favorite team, Collingwood, and all the merch they sell has the fight song on it. Imagine my and another great AFL rule is whoever wins the match, whether it's the home or road team, the winner's fight song is played live in the stadium. It's fantastic. Imagine my Celtics getting a win in New York and all those annoying Knicks fans being forced to listen to a cool Boston Celtic fight song, which, you know, would probably be performed by like House of Pain or the Dropkick Murphys. I want NBA fight songs, and I want them now.
Didn't the Celtics have like some, maybe it's the Bucks? I don't know. I feel like there was an old commercial or old vinyl.
The old Bullets, the Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, Scott Brooks as a player, Washington Bullets, had Yuta Man in the 94-95 season. And they made a terrible video for it. I'll put it in the article, the pod article on Order. It was like, Yuta Man, like Scotty Brooks is in the scene on the house. Yuta Man. It was terrible. But
they're just doing like a Run DMC parody.
They made the team in their uniforms. It was a cold day, so they're wearing jackets, and they gave them a bunch of Bullets hats. They're like out in a park behind the office building, and they're all like, Yuta Man, just jumping around with like a forest behind them. I don't know.
Oh, man.
It was the days before YouTube, and people, yeah, you know, thought no one would ever see this.
Boy, were they wrong.
Boy, were they wrong. All right, I got to preempt the – now it's time for mispronounced names, and I screwed up. I think I said Brett Brown when I meant to say Bruce Brown.
You did.
Yeah, that's inexcusable.
You also
My
said Montrezl.
The Brown family. A lot of Browns.
Montrezl Harrell. It's just Montrez. The L is silent.
The L is silent. You know, I get that wrong.
I understand.
Get that wrong half the time. He's been in the NBA like 8 years. I still say Montrezl. Yeah.
Sorry. Not too many silent L's in names. So understandable. I think that.
Is that French? That. Montrez, the silent L?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not that cultured.
But you didn't butcher anything. I think you were clean.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Would you get wrong?
Now, the... It, I screwed up the intro at some point. Oh, I said I called Shannon Ken during the intro when I saw he was gone.
We're not NBA players, so it's not as bad. But yes, my name is Ken.
It doesn't say mispronounced NBA names on this document.
Just good point. That's fair. Well, you brought it up.
That will do it for us, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It is presented by WinBet. Ken, take us out of here.
Let's go to New York and former Knicks coach David Fizdale, who when asked whether Enes Kanter would be a distraction, said, "What are we going to do? Lose more games?" Attention passengers, this three-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line.